This is Wade Rethke with the Chief Organizer's Report. Travel tips. I always make a mental note of my last work trip of the year. As usual, it's for the Acorn Canada year-end beginning meeting. After a multi-year run through cities largely in the Midwest, we're all heading for Montreal. Somehow, it's appropriate to offer some travel tips at this point in a year where I may have logged more road miles than any other. I'm going to say it by popular demand, though, rather than personal privilege. I got several emails from longtime readers and friends, one reporting a nightmare where he was stuck in my $20 situation, but instead was at a hotel in Tehran with only an hour to make the plane and scrounging for cash before waking up when he offered the cashier a $26 bill. The other was looking for advice for a son about to intern in Cambodia. From those kinds of comments, I will claim a mandate rather than an obsession. Hiding cash and carrying multiple cards. I've already detailed this, but it's worth repeating. No matter what you read in the Wall Street Journal, The Economist, or the Financial Times, in the real world, credit and debit cards continue to not work as often as they do work. Booking a flight on Kenya Airlines, no matter what the website said, they only took American Express. Usually it's the other way around, and one will only want Visa or MasterCard, pretending they're Costco's or something. Any new card that has a chip is supposed to mean that you no longer have to call the company or the bank issuer to use the card around the world. I say supposed to mean because many on the road are finding the opposite. Okay, in cash, bring a pile in different denominations with the greenback dollars, but also 50 or more in euros, pounds, and whatever currency of countries where you travel. Dollars are best. Everyone takes them eventually, no matter how finicky. Hide them well, but not so well that you forget their location. Who really wants to go somewhere with someone to find an ATM while in a foreign country? I mean, really. A helmet. In Cambodia, just like Uganda or Cameroon, you're going to be riding recklessly on the back of a motorcycle or scooter because that's what a cab usually is and that's what you can afford. If you're going to be there for a while, bring a helmet and live to tell about it later. Jackets and shoes. Even when in sweltering climates, find a jacket with lots of pockets, some secretish as discussed above. This may mean you have plenty of places to put stuff when you go through airport security. You don't want to leave change around even there. I was once asked for a bribe in Johannesburg by the worker pulling bags out of the screening machine. I used to travel in runners, as my Canadian comrades called running shoes or sneakers. Now, if I'm international or on any kind of schlep that isn't free TSA, go slip on. I picked up a pair of Skechers in Cardiff this summer, which have been great in Honduras and Kenya. Winter is here, so I'm sporting Merrells, just saying. That's not all of it. If you, on global entry, that's something worthwhile. Along with a lifetime pass to the United States National Park System, this is without a doubt one of the government's best bargains. In fact, I gave the resource to acquire one to everyone in my family last year for Christmas. Once you clear, and it's easier now than when I first signed on, but that's a longer story. The global entry number is also the one you add when you're checking in online, and that automatically triggers a pre-TSA. So you just doubled your money, my friends. It's $100 for 5 years, that's $20 a pop, and it's worth it. Stay tuned for more to come.